Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Dave Cohen, WWL News Director, and Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. We thought it'd be a good idea to spend just a few minutes kind of generally talking about what we've seen thus far in this election process as we lead up to this all-important election to be held tomorrow on Saturday, October the 11th, a number of municipal races, a lot of turnover on the council as one example. Dave?
Yeah, there really is a very large number. And I think people have lost the sight of that. New Orleans has its own election cycle. It is different than that of the rest of the state. And this is when nearly every position, elected position in the city of New Orleans is up for election. And when there is the opportunity for voters to either affirm the way things have been going or try to change them.
And we want to welcome Ron Fauché. Ron, your opening thoughts about what we've seen thus far in this election season, last day before the election, Friday. Not a whole lot you can do at this point, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much, baked in at this point. The candidates have done everything they can do. If you're going to send out a mail piece, you had to do that some days ago. It's unlikely they will be adding new TV ads tonight. Most of the new ads came out earlier in the week. So essentially, they're using the tools that they have. They're continuing to get out their message. And, of course, tomorrow, the importance of tomorrow, not only Election Day, but you have to turn out your vote. And now with early voting, the candidates have been doing that for a couple of weeks now. But still, the name of the game tomorrow is to get everybody out to vote that you think will be supporting you and to get as good of a turnout as possible.
Yeah, that get out the vote effort is still something that's a key ingredient to campaigns. A lot of times you look at the date where the election falls. So we have an LSU game on Saturday night, not Saturday afternoon. So it's probably less of an influence, right? It's a late start, 6:45. But it is a Columbus Day weekend. A number of schools are off on Monday. And so there are some schools that enjoy a three-day weekend, and a lot of folks, if they didn't early vote, might end up missing the vote.
Well, that's always possible in elections, and that's why you never get a 100% turnout, because people have other priorities in their life and have to tend to them. So it's not always easy for people to vote. But the indications are, and this is an interesting election from the standpoint of turnout, because based on the early voting, it looks like the turnout may be a good bit higher than it had been in recent elections. But at the same time, even though there's a great desire for change on the part of the electorate, you don't really see that much anger in the electorate in this election. So sometimes it takes anger, sometimes it takes desire for change, sometimes it takes all kinds of things to get people out to vote. So we're at a stage now where we just have to wait and see for tomorrow night.
What do you think did motivate that very high voter turnout in early voting, though? If it wasn't anger, what was it that had so many more people voting early than we saw in the last two mayoral elections?
Well, you know, in some cases, the people voting early may just be people who want to vote early. Maybe they are going to be out of town, so it may not have anything to do with politics. But for some people, it does have something to do with politics. And I think, you know, as we said earlier, it's a desire for change. People are not happy with the way city government is working. They're not happy with the current mayor. I hear more people say they're enthused about getting rid of LaToya Cantrell than they are in voting for the new candidates. So people want to change, very much so. But at the same time, there's not the kind of burning anger that you see in many other elections, particularly in national elections.
I've heard people respond, you know, that I've asked, are you going out to vote? What do you think? And, well, you know, I don't know. It can't get any worse. And I'm like, my response is like, says who?
Right.
And let's not find out if it can.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, 20% in the latest UNO survey, we're still undecided. Ron, is that unusual this close to Election Day and at a time when we do have an open election without an incumbent seeking re-election?
No, not necessarily. You know, the polls have been showing undecideds are either in the teens or as high as 20%. You know, a lot of voters don't really switch on their interest until the very end of the election and don't know the candidates very well. And some voters and a lot of voters, and it's my theory, and this is not just the local elections, but state and federal elections, are cross-pressured. You know, they say, well, I like this about this candidate, but I like this about the other candidate. And they're sort of going back and forth. And even though they're undecided, it doesn't mean they're not going to vote or they're not interested. It means that that they might be so interested and they found out so much information about the candidates that they're having trouble balancing it off.
Ron, was there anything that you found unusual about the campaigns this year? We learned the other day, both Dave and I, that some of the mayoral candidates bought an entire half-hour block on local TV to do kind of like an infomercial. So they had all of the commercials in that half hour as well as all of the primary minutes of the hour, half hour.
Well, you know, that's a time-buying strategy, and I think a lot of that had to do with all the candidates, I think, feared attack from somebody somewhere, whether it was one of their opponents or a super PAC, whatever it may be. So I think they felt that they needed to concentrate as much as they advertising as they could, not only to continue to define themselves, but to respond to attacks. I think one of the interesting things is how few attacks there has been. Now, you know, if you're a voter and you've been watching TV, you have seen attacks. You've seen, well, for the most part, most of the attacks have attacked Royce DuPlessis or Helena Moreno. But it's not nearly the amount of attacks that we have seen in the past in elections. And it part of it is that it's still the primary, and oftentimes the ferocity of the election doesn't really heat up for some unknown reason into the runoff. And of course, in the mayor's race, there may not be a runoff. So the candidates, if they left anything on the table at this point, I think they've made a mistake.
There seem to have been, though, on social media and in certain circles on the internet, some pretty vicious attacking going on that didn't make it into the mainstream media or the advertising right. that the candidates bought. How influential is that in this day and age? Do enough people pay attention to what's being said, posted, alleged on social media and elsewhere on the internet that it does sway the outcome of an election?
Yes. And Dave, I think you're 100% right. I followed what was happening on Facebook in this election pretty carefully this time. And there was a lot more activity on social media and Facebook, Instagram that I follow. There's other, you know, social media channels too, but there was a lot more activity and a lot more negative activity on those channels than we've seen on television or in the newspaper or on radio. And so, yeah, I mean, they're going to target audiences. We don't always know which audience, which candidate, or which attack is being targeted to, although we can usually guess what they are. But yes, there has been more of that. Now, the difference is, you know, on television or on radio or on newspaper, the ad is there. You don't have to do anything to see it. You know, you're listening to this radio show, for example, and then there's a break and there's a political ad. Well, there it is. But in terms of social media, it's a lot easier to get out of the ads or to avoid the ads if you want. So it's always been difficult to measure the impact of ads on social media more so than, you know, the conventional media. And I can say, looking at polling, that it usually takes the conventional media, TV and radio in particular, and direct mail, to move votes, as opposed to social media, which it's harder to attract the effect of that.
Is there as rigorous a look at the context of the ad that's being placed on, like, mainstream media? I know that, you know, they have the safeguards there on social media. I mean, on social media, it seems like you can almost post anything, right?
Yeah, I think so. And you're right. I think there's not only more rigor, you know, that goes into what is on television or on a major radio station. But for some reason, the candidates and the campaigns feel like they're more exposed if they're on television or on a regular radio station. And the reason for that is, in social media, you can throw something up there and you can see what kind of response you're getting. And if there's a problem with it, you can yank it down and instantly. But the people who are running ads today on WWL radio and on the TV stations, those ads were probably produced much earlier this week, and, you know, they send the ads out, and they can certainly change the ads, but it's not as quick and as easy as it is online. So yeah, I mean, all of that, I think, adds up to the fact that people are more cautious about what they're putting on TV and radio. And of course, you know, an ad on TV and radio is going to have more impact because the audiences are generally bigger than smaller target audiences who are going to see some of the online ads.
Well, and a lot of the stuff we saw online may have even come from third parties, though. We had one individual with their phone approach Royce Duplessis in church and start goading him from the pew behind him that went somewhat viral locally. And we have other third parties that are doing similar things or making posts about the candidates that then begin these conversations. They get a lot of users involved. We don't know where those people are, if they are voters in New Orleans or not, but it is a very different kind of approach, attack, and conversation.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, it's not just a third-party organization doing it. It can be individuals. I mean, I could go right now and whip up an ad attacking somebody in probably 15 minutes and put it on Facebook. And of course, I don't need to write a big check to anybody to do it. So that's another thing. And I've also noticed in this campaign, for the first time, I think I've seen anyway, where AI-produced ads are showing up. And the question is, you know, what are voters believing when it comes to AI, when they have, you know, pictures that don't look quite right and cartoons that don't look quite right? Are people going to believe that or not?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Do you recall, we have a lot of races that could be won in the first primary. And I think historically, Ron, early vote, the election day vote breaks out very similar percentage-wise to what early votes are, reveal. Your thoughts about that?
Well, oftentimes, yes, but you can't always be sure of that. And you're right, in this particular election, of course, the last time we had a mayor elected in an open race in the primary was Mitch Landrieu. Now, that's not that long ago. It's 16 years ago. So that's the last time. But most other elections for the, you know, in the open races tend to go into runoffs. So to that extent, in the mayor's race, it's different. I also think it took a while for the mayor's race to sort of get going this time. Now, that was probably helping Helena Moreno, because she had been building a campaign earlier than the other candidates. She had raised money earlier, put together support. The polls were showing that she was already getting close to 50% of the vote quite a while ago. So I think the late start for the other candidates was an advantage to her. I think we saw something similar in the last governor's race, where there were a number of candidates. People kept saying, well, this race is going to change, and they're going to go after Jeff Landry and do this and do that. And it never really sort of gelled like that. And Landry just kept moving up and up and won it in the first primary. And I think some of those dynamics are similar in this mayor's race, even though the elections are totally different. Louisiana politics and New Orleans politics are entirely different, and the candidates are entirely different. But I think the dynamics have been similar.
Dave, you have anything else?
No, I mean, I would like to know from Ron, and I think we can ask him after the break, what the likelihood is that the mayor's race is headed to a runoff or not. Get his thoughts on that, as he's been looking at what polling he has available to him, maybe stuff we don't have that's publicly available, because I think that's a big question on everyone's mind. Does Helena Moreno win tomorrow, or are we headed for another month of this campaign?
Let's do that now, because we do have a guest in the back half of this hour, so we only have half hour, Dave. So go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I think the answer is yes, she can win. The last polling I actually saw and participated in, she was polling 50% of total registered voters and 52% of likely voters. So that means she was polling enough to win in the primary. Now, that was a few weeks ago, so we don't know what or at least I don't know what happened since then. In terms of whether she held that up or not. From what I'm hearing in other campaigns, apparently she has. But there's still things that can happen at the end. You know, Frank Janus is the only Republican candidate. If Republicans, when they see that on the ballot, it may improve his vote. He may go up some, and that vote some of that vote could come from Helena Moreno.
If you had to bet on it.
Well, if I had to bet on it, I have to look at my own polling and what the trend was. And the trend favors that she would win in the primary.
We shall see tomorrow night.
It's no foregone conclusion, though.
So let's get your prediction on this, Ron.
Okay.
When do you think you'll be able to call the race? I hope the results come in quickly tomorrow. evening.
Doesn't usually happen in New Orleans, but Ron.
No.
Well, we don't, we never know that. I mean, if it's a really, really close race, it can take a while. It can take, to get everything in. The governor's race was a close race from the standpoint of Jeff Landry topping the 50% mark. I mean, he got about 51%. And it took us a while to make sure we were seeing enough coming in to make a sensible call about it. So we're probably going to have something similar this time.
If it is a runoff, who's it a runoff with?
Well, it's hard to say because the Plessis and Oliver Thomas were bouncing around one another, and one poll showed one ahead by a point or two, another poll showed the other ahead by a point or two. It really depends on which of those candidates did the best in the end, did the best in these debates, and will do the best getting their vote out.
And in the end, the most important thing is if you want to have a say-so in any of these elections, the only way you can do that is by voting, right?
That's it. That's it.
And, or making an AI commercial and posting it to social media. But we prefer you do it by voting.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
Or giving a candidate a large check. But but in this particular election, absolutely. New Orleans has had very low turnout in not just mayor's elections, but gubernatorial elections and judicial elections and special elections, bond issues. And then, everybody wants to criticize it, but then they're not turning out to vote.
Yeah, for sure. Got to exercise that right, that privilege that you have to go out and vote tomorrow, all day long. Polls open, I think, at 6. They close
It's a Saturday election, so they open at 7 and close
seven,
at 8.
7. Yeah.
Tuesdays they open at 6. At Saturdays they open at 7.
Right,
yeah.
That's correct. 7 and close at 8 p.m. And I think you can go to the Clerk of Court's website and make sure of where you have to vote.
Yeah, we have that on our website at WWL.com. If you want to see your sample ballot and see where your voting place is, we've got that for you.
Absolutely. Ron Fauché, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate it. Dave Cohen, as always, WWL News Director. It's always a pleasure. We will be back right after the break, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Dr. Sarintha Strickland of the Jefferson Ready Start Network. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Doc, we have some exciting news that you want to report out on some funding for early childhood education. Always been an advocate of that. I think it's incredibly important. So tell us about it.
Absolutely. So I'm with the Jefferson Ready Start Network, which is a program of the Jefferson Community Foundation and operated by a coalition of business leaders, advocates, providers, and others committed to early care and education. And part of that commitment we've seen is from the Jefferson Parish Council. So we are excited to report that they've committed $250,000 a year for the next 3 years to the Jefferson Ready Start Network under the Jefferson Community Foundation for seats for early care and education for young children in Jefferson Parish.
Now, do I understand that this investment made by the council, there's also a match for this? Is that the case?
You are correct, and that's another exciting feature of it. So when we think about the number of children in need in Jefferson Parish, $250,000 is, not a lot of money, but the exciting piece is that it's matched dollar for dollar by the Louisiana Department of Education. Louisiana legislature has set aside funding for that match when money is raised locally. And just to share with you the commitment over the next 3 years at $250,000 per year is sizable when you add it up and you add the match. But it's even more impressive when you think that the Parish Council started this commitment back in 2021. And so now when we put it all together of those amounts of money each year matched by the state, over 5 years, we've now had nearly $1.5 million in investment in early care and education in Jefferson Parish for those children who are in working families but who are economically disadvantaged.
Now you're talking when you're talking in the millions. Doc, I know that y'all look at a lot of data. For the benefit of the listening audience, what does the data reveal about the importance of early childhood education?
Well, I think a lot of your listening audience are well aware that early care and education is critical because 90% of brain development happens in the first 5 years of life. But the message that we're also trying to share and educate our community is that it's not just a child and family issue, it's also a workforce and economic development issue. If families can't access affordable quality care for their children, they can't get to work. And if they can't get to work, then our businesses are impacted, and we really need this investment, not just to strengthen families, but to support our local employers and fuel some real long-term economic growth in Jefferson Parish.
I was a big advocate of aftercare programs for that very same reason, right? Working parent households, not a lot of flexibility, not very nimble, having to make decisions of whether or not they're going to put food on the table or have to miss to go to a parent-teacher conference or whatever it may be. For many of us, we can't even put our head around that construct, but it's real, right? And I know you guys see it.
Absolutely. The cost of childcare is really a national crisis, and we see that in Jefferson Parish. And you think about families, working families making those decisions, the cost of care right now, on average, for a toddler, let's say, is about $12,000 a year or about $1,000 a month. And that's really the cost that is provided, is sort of the market rate, right? It's what the market will bear, and it's what centers charge. The real cost of care is more like $18,000 to $20,000 a year to actually provide the level of care that the Jefferson Ready Start Network is really promoting and supporting centers across Jefferson to actually provide to children and families.
And obviously, although this grant is important and the match is important, we know that we're still short, right, in meeting the needs of our community.
Absolutely. We are still short. Most people tend to think of Jefferson as the richer parish, right? You've spent much of your morning talking about the mayor's race in Orleans, and people tend to compare and think that Jefferson has, you know, the wealthier families. But, you know, the data is astounding when you realize there are about 25,000 children under the age of five in Jefferson Parish, and as many as 15,000 of them are in families who are defined as economically disadvantaged. You know, there's a lot of data that we use from United Way, for example, that really talks about nearly 50% of families in Jefferson Parish cannot afford the basics. So when we think about those children, we think about those families, and we look at those estimates of children in need, and we think 15,000, as many as 15,000 in need, and we're only serving about 4,500 children in publicly funded seats in Jefferson Parish. So that gap is huge. So when we share other data that says only about 12% of children in Jefferson Parish enter kindergarten ready to engage with kindergarten material, there's no doubt as to why that's the case, because we don't have those young children in high quality learning centers prior to kindergarten entry.
So what happens is the whole system is taxed. So if only 12% of the kids coming into kindergarten are actually kindergarten ready, you know, you got 88% of the kids that aren't. So the system gets taxed and it gets bogged down to a certain extent. So if we really want to get the ultimate return on our investment of public education, not only in this parish, this holds true anywhere, you got to get those numbers up, right?
Absolutely. And you want to talk return on investment, you don't get a better return on investment than you think about the investment in early education, because the data really show about a 13% return on every dollar invested in early care and education. And so where are you getting that these days? Nowhere. So we really have to think about how we educate the broader community about this need. You know, I think I hear you talking all morning about the mayor's race in Orleans, and you don't hear them talking about this crisis of access to early care and education when, you know, you hear about politics at the federal level. That's not what people are talking about. And when we look at the polls in Jefferson, people care about flooding and drainage, right? Those are the immediate needs that they think about. So our work is cut out for us. We have to educate about how important this is and what kind of return on investment we get, because it's got to ultimately be the general public that understands the need and wants to figure out how to have long-term sustainable solutions.
Yeah, you know, public school funding, not unlike a lot of other critical services, predominantly financed by property taxes. Some sales taxes are involved as well. So if the economy's not doing well, or you have what the city of New Orleans is experiencing, per capita, one of the largest out-migration cities in the country, that's not good. There's a less property taxpayers, right? And you have to have a vibrant real estate economy where people are growing their equity in their home. Assessed values go up, more dollars being paid through the millages to public education. But when it's in the opposite direction, it makes this challenge exponentially harder. A lot of times we don't connect these dots. I kind of covered this issue in a little bit of a roundabout way this morning on my monologue as it relates to getting out and voting, because we need to understand the dynamics and connecting the dots of how important all of these things are. And every day that you miss the opportunity, that's a day loss, and it's gone. And you will never, ever recapture it, right?
And that's one of the reasons we're so appreciative of the Jefferson Parish Council. We know that those council members understand that connection. We know those council members are connecting those dots. We're engaged in a lot of conversations with them about the importance of early care and education and how it's really tied to the aging population that the demographics are really showing in Jefferson, right? If we want to recruit in young professionals into Jefferson Parish or retain our own young adult children to stay and thrive in Jefferson Parish, they have to have access to early care and education that's affordable and high quality. Those young professionals come with young children. And so, again, you talk about out-migration. Well, we see a lot of those young professionals leaving Jefferson. If we want to bring them back in, we've got to figure out how to have a thriving early care and education community for them.
No doubt about it. Dr. Sarintha Strickland, Jefferson Ready Start Network of the Jefferson Community Foundation, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, ma'am. We will be right back after this break, so stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We've been talking about some of the realities out there as it relates to funding and financing a lot of what we hope we can accomplish in education and in other areas as well. Construction Coverage just analyzed the latest data from Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Census Bureau, and Zillow to reveal the locations with the greatest percentage of mortgages that are at least 30 days delinquent. And it turns out in the New Orleans metro area, which includes Jefferson Parish, 5.1% of mortgages were at least 30 days delinquent as of December 2024, the seventh highest rate amongst all mid-sized U.S. metro areas. There are 260 U.S. metropolitan areas and all 50 states. And what we also know just nationally, that delinquency rates for all major loan types, that includes auto, student, and credit card debt, have now surpassed pre-pandemic levels. And mortgage loans are dominating, accounting for over 70% of all U.S. household debt and totaling more than $12.9 trillion. Just more challenges out there. We'll continue to provide some of the data to put this in context for you over the coming months. It's something that we're going to focus on. It's been important as it relates to this mayor's race. It's even more important for whoever wins as to how they're going to get their hands around this situation and gain a better understanding of the challenges that we face and how broad and diverse these challenges truly are. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We believe in the power of everywhere. Does somebody in our life love the Jonas Brothers? You could gift of a Jonas Brothers concert just in time for Christmas. That's right, the Jonas Brothers in concert in New Orleans. And WWL has five pairs of tickets to see the Jonas Brothers. Greetings from your hometown tour, Friday, December 6th at the Smoothie King Center. And winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.